नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So reading from the 10th canto, chapter 1, chapter entitled The Advent of Lord Krishna, introduction, text number 12 and 13. Tad anyacha sarvam me mune Krishna vichestitam vaktam arhasi sarvajna श्रद्धदानाय विस्तृतम् एत ट्रांसलेशन बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद। ओ ग्रेट सेज हु नो एवरीथिंग अबाउट कृष्णा प्लीज डिस्क्राइब इन डिटेल ऑल द एक्टिविटीज ऑफ विच आई हैव इंक्वायर्ड एंड ऑल्सो दोज ऑफ विच आई हैव नॉट फॉर आई हैव फुल फेथ एंड आई एम वेरी ईगर टू हियर ऑफ देम। Text number 13. Because of my vow on the verge of death, I have given up even drinking water. Yet because I am drinking the nectar of topics about Krishna, which is flowing from the lotus mouth of your lordship, my hunger and thirst, which are extremely difficult to bear, cannot hinder me. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. To prepare to meet death in 7 days, Maharaj Parikshit gave up all food and drink. As a human being, he was certainly both hungry and thirsty, and therefore Sukadev Goswami might have wanted to stop narrating the transcendental topics of Krishna. But despite his fast, Maharaj Parikshit was not at all fatigued. "The hunger and thirst from my fast do not disturb me," he said. "Once when I was very thirsty, I went to the ashram of Shamik Muni to drink water, but the Muni did not supply it. I therefore wrapped a dead snake over his shoulder, and that is why I was cursed by the Brahman boy. Now, however, I am quite fit. I am not at all disturbed by my hunger and thirst." This indicates that although on the material platform there are disturbances from hunger and thirst, on the spiritual platform, there is no such thing as fatigue. The entire world is suffering because of spiritual thirst. Every living being is Brahman or spirit soul and needs spiritual food to satisfy his hunger and thirst. Unfortunately, however, the world is completely unaware of the nectar of Krishna Katha. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore a boon to philosophers, religionists, and people in general. There is certainly a charming attraction in Krishna and Krishna Katha. Therefore, the absolute truth is called Krishna, the most attractive. The word Amrita is also an important reference to the moon, and the word Ambuja means lotus. The pleasing moonshine and pleasing fragrance of the lotus combined to bring pleasure to everyone hearing Krishna Katha from the mouth of Sukadev Goswami. As it is said, Matirna Krishne Parata Svatova Mito Bipadyeta Graham Graha Vritanam Adanta Gobir Vijatam Tamishram Puna Punas Charvita Charvananam. Because of the uncontrolled senses, persons too addicted to materialistic life make progress towards hellish condition and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. Their inclinations towards Krishna are never aroused, either by the instruction of others, by their own efforts, or by a combination of both. Bhagavatam 7.5.30. At the present moment, all of human society is engaged in the business of chewing the chewed. Puna punas charvita charvananam. People are prepared to undergo mrityu samsara vartamani, taking birth in one form, dying, accepting another form, and dying again. To stop this repetition of birth and death, Krishna Katha or Krishna consciousness is absolutely necessary. But unless one hears Krishna Katha from a realized soul like Sukadev Goswami, one cannot relish the nectar of Krishna Katha, which puts an end to all material fatigue, and enjoy the blissful life of transcendental existence. In relation to the Krishna consciousness movement, we actually see that those who have tasted the nectar of Krishna Katha lose all material desires, whereas those who cannot understand Krishna or Krishna Katha regard the Krishna conscious life as brainwashing and mind control. While the devotees enjoy spiritual bliss, the non-devotees are surprised that the devotees have forgotten material hankerings. Because of my vow on the verge of death, I have given up even drinking water. Yet because I am drinking the nectar of topics about Krishna, which is flowing from the lotus mouth of your lordship, my hunger and thirst, which are extremely difficult to bear, cannot hinder me. Hare Krishna. So, seeking the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas. So, we see over here, Parikshit Maharaj is requesting Sukadev Goswami to narrate or to continue to narrate the pastimes of the Lord. And one would have thought that by now we are already on to the fifth or maybe the sixth day of this narration that Parikshit Maharaj would have expressed some desire for a break, either to have some food or some water. But completely contrary to that, Parikshit Maharaj here is saying that please continue to narrate the topics of Lord Krishna. Although I am feeling thirst and hunger, yet because I am drinking this nectar of Krishna Katha that is coming from the mouth of yourself, I am hardly feeling any fatigue. So that's the glory of Krishna consciousness. And we see that in our own personal lives, whenever we want to do any austerity, if it is not connected with Krishna, the austerity becomes such a big burden. Like we fast on Janmashtami day, or we fast on Gaur Purnima, or Nirjal Ekadashi, right? If we are not in the association of devotees, or if we are not relishing Krishna Katha or Krishna Kirtan, then that particular fast becomes so burdensome, and we are actually counting every minute that we are that is passing by. So just that the mind is completely focused on hearing something or some activities of Krishna or something to do with Krishna keeps us somehow or the other to continue onto our fast. So here we see that Parikshit Maharaj, although the same person who just a few days back could not control his thirst, although he must have drunk water just a few hours earlier, when he comes to this ashram of Shamik Muni, and Srila Prabhupada elaborates here in the purport that he comes to this ashram of Shamik Muni and he's so feeling so much thirsty, so much inconvenience because of thirst, that he makes a request to Shamik Rishi to give him some water. And because Shamik Rishi is in a state of samadhi, he is not even able to hear what Parikshit Maharaj is requesting. So Parikshit Maharaj is thinking, not because he actually wanted water, but he's thinking in his mind that how could it be that although I'm a guest, I'm not being received properly. Thinking like that, he becomes very angry. And then he takes a dead snake and puts it around the neck of Shamik Rishi. And then he leaves the hermitage. In the meanwhile, the son of Shamik Rishi, a young boy by the name of Shringi, he comes to know that this has taken place, that his father has been apparently insulted by Parikshit Maharaj. So in a fit of anger, he curses Parikshit Maharaj to die in 7 days. And when Parikshit Maharaj comes to know that he has been so cursed, actually he could have counteracted this curse, because he himself is a pure devotee of the Lord. In fact, if one considers the spiritual potency of Parikshit Maharaj, he is a person who has actually had the personal darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the womb of his mother. So from that point of view, definitely he could have easily counteracted the curse. But because he was a Vaishnav, he accepts this as the arrangement of the Lord. And then he leaves home and then comes to the banks of the Ganges. The Lord makes arrangement for him to be hearing the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. So devotees tolerate austerities, whatever is inflicted upon them. And just because devotees are having this tolerant attitude, they are able to adjust to any situation in life. Just like we see in the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the life of Maharaj Chitraketu. Now Maharaj Chitraketu was actually a very pious king. And before Sukadeva Maharaj narrates the pastime of Maharaj Chitraketu, he actually tells how is it that Vritrasura, or rather he narrates the pastime of Vritrasura, and in answer to the question that are raised by Parikshit Maharaj as to how is it that a demon could get such special mercy of the Lord. A question that is asked by Parikshit Maharaj to Sukadeva Goswami. How is it that a demon could be getting so much mercy when people who have reached a stage of being liberated, even they do not get so much mercy of the Lord? And in fact, Parikshit Maharaj goes on to ask Sukadeva Goswami that actually in this world we see that there are so many people who are pious and religious. Out of many, many such pious and religious people, there might be one person who is actually seeking out liberation. And out of thousands of people who are seeking liberation, there might be one person who is actually reaching to this path of liberation. And out of millions of people who actually reach liberation or achieve liberation, there is one person who is a pure devotee of the Lord. So a pure devotee of the Lord is so rare. And yet we see that a person like Vritrasura, who is such a such a demon, he is a pure devotee. How could it be that he has achieved such a huge amount of mercy of the Supreme Lord? And then Sukadeva Goswami narrates the pastime of Maharaj Chitraketu. And you see from the life of Maharaj Chitraketu, it's literally like a roller coaster. At one time, just before he was such a great king, so like all great kings, he wanted to have a progeny. He wanted to have a son in order to carry on the kingdom after him. So he got married to one wife, and then he tried to get a child, but he couldn't, so he got married to a second, and then he tried, and again he couldn't. And like this, he got married to 10 million wives. 1 crore wives was what Maharaj Chitraketu finally ended up getting married to in order to have a son. And in spite of having so many wives, unfortunately, Maharaj Chitraketu did not have a child. And because of this, he was so miserable. So we see that a king who should normally have been very happy because he has so many material possessions is put into such a state of misery because he doesn't have a son. And then Angira Muni comes to his kingdom and then asks him, why is it that you are so disturbed? And then he tells Angira Muni that the cause of my disturbance is that I don't have a son. And then Angira Muni blesses him and tells him that you will get a son, but this son will be the cause of your happiness as well as distress. And then Maharaj Chittaketu, when he gets a son, is so happy that his happiness was actually completely uncontrollable. So from a situation of complete misery to a situation of complete happiness. And then, because he was not a diplomat and he was not taking care of his other wives, they poisoned his son. And then the son died. And then from a situation of complete happiness, Maharaj Chitraketu ends up in a situation of complete misery once again. So in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Matra sparshastu kaunteya sitoshna sukha dukkada agamam payino nitya stam titiksha swabharata. So this is the nature of the material world, that we have a situation where a person goes through complete happiness or mixed happiness and distress, and he enters into a situation where he is in complete distress. And then once again, he goes into a situation of complete happiness. So Maharaj Chitraketu, after going through a situation of complete misery, when he is explained the situation of what is this relationship that you have with the child, everything is temporary and so on and so forth, then he becomes a self-realized person. And then he has actually darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead gives him so many instructions. And then it is explained that the same Maharaj Chitraketu now becomes the king of the Vidyadharas. And he is given a flying airplane with which he travels across so many different planets in the company of so many beautiful girls. But Maharaj Chitraketu, because he was fixed up, because he had the personal darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he always was in the consciousness that this human life or this life is no longer meant for enjoyment or sense gratification. And although Maharaj Chitraketu for millions of years he was enjoying, he was in constant realization of his true position. And also he was constantly chanting the holy names of the Lord. And then he meets Lord Shiva and Parvati, and then, you know, he apparently commits this offense to Mother Parvati. Although Lord Shiva does not take any offense, because actually, in one sense, Maharaj Chitraketu had not committed any offense. But it was just that it was perceived as an offense by Mother Parvati, and she cursed him to become a demon. So again, from a situation of complete happiness, Maharaj Chitraketu becomes Vritrasura. Right? And is not an ordinary demon. A demon who actually is such a terrorist, who terrorizes all the people to such an extent that there is a cause of misery to everybody who he would come across with. And finally, his death also is in one sense so glorious, because he dies with the full realization that he is a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Maharaj Chitraketu, although he was passing through so many different stages in his life, because of his connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there was no trauma in his mind. A materialistic person passes through so much of lamentation when he comes across so many difficulties in his life. But a devotee looks at all this situations and actually is so blissful, like Srila Prabhupada states over here in the last line. While the devotees enjoy spiritual bliss, non-devotees are surprised that devotees have forgotten material hankerings. Like recently we finished the Rath Yatra for this year, and some of us had been to Jagannath Puri, And actually, from a material point of view, if one sees Jagannath Puri, it's really not a right place or a right situation to be in. One could actually participate in the Jagannath Rath Yatra in Bombay itself, right? But somehow the attraction of Jagannath Puri is so strong, just to be able to participate in the Rath Yatra, the original Rath Yatra. So some of us went over there, and the weather was very warm, so much of crowd, and yet none of us actually experienced any fatigue, because we were in the place where the Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually giving darshan to everybody who wants to take advantage of. I remember on the day after the Rath Yatra, when the Lord was giving darshan on the cart, a lot of us got up at 1 o'clock in the morning thinking that we would go and take the darshan by 2 o'clock in the morning so that there would not be any persons on the cart. And to our utter surprise, when you reach the carts by 2:30, around 2:30, we saw that there was a mile-long queue before all the carts. So many people, and it was actually a matter of great satisfaction to us that so many people are actually wanting to take advantage of the fact that the Lord is giving darshan. At 2:30 in the morning, that means people must have been standing in line even much earlier than us. And what to speak about the Lord allowing us to embrace. I remember the day before the Rath Yatra, a couple of days before the Rath Yatra, was actually the day of Netrotsav. Normally, Netrotsav is on the day immediately preceding the Rath Yatra. But in this particular case, in this year, because of the Tithi having come on that particular day, the Netrotsav was 2 days before the Rath Yatra. And some of us, although we were in Jagannath Puri, we were thinking that the Netrotsav is on the next day. It was not supposed to be today. So we were all waiting with eager anticipation that next day we could go and take darshan of the Lord. And suddenly somebody told us that actually the Lord is giving darshan today, and tomorrow the Lord will not be giving darshan. So all of us immediately rushed towards the temple, and actually what we were surprised to see was there were so many thousands and thousands of people were just waiting over there to get darshan of the Lord. And the Lord had come down from his pedestal and he was resting down. So all the devotees were circumambulating the Lord from all the four sides. That means they had made a provision whereby you could actually move around the Lord and circumambulate him. And here were the devotees who were practically embracing the Lord from all the four sides. So earlier years, I remember we would be circumambulating the Lord, or we would be embracing the Lord, but that would be only from the front. But in this particular year, devotees got an opportunity to embrace the Lord from all the four sides. And practically, there was no restrictions from the Pandas. It was really amazing. So much of mercy. So Jagannath Puri is a place where so many different pastimes have taken place. And each and every devotee practically has something to share about what he has experienced in his connection with Lord Jagannath. And I remember in 1993, I mean, this was something to me, at that particular point of time, it didn't appear as if it was a miracle. But now, in retrospect, as I think backwards, this was the first yatra that I had attended in 1993. There were just a few of us, there were just 200 of us, and we were traveling from Mayapur to Jagannath Puri. And we were supposed to catch a train from Jagannath Puri at 7 o'clock in the evening. So all of us had left Mayapur with 3 buses, somewhere around 10 o'clock in the morning. And all of us were pretty comfortable and thinking that we would reach well in time to the Howrah station to be able to catch this train. But somehow, when we came to the Howrah bridge, we found that we were There was a massive traffic jam. And although the station was just a few hundred meters away, the buses were just not able to pass through. And somehow, one batch of devotees had reached the station before in a car. So they entered into the train and then they started pulling the chain. And the train was delayed by about half an hour. And in the meantime, around 100 devotees somehow managed to get into the train. There was still one busload of devotees who could not make it to the train by the time the train had left. And I was just thinking to myself, how is it possible that we could ever make it to Jagannath Puri? But unbelievably, there was a train that was scheduled to leave at 11 o'clock at night. And this particular train was completely empty. It was, I mean, in a situation where we know booking a, you know, if you want to go on a yatra, we have to plan 3 months in advance and book a ticket and, you know, do our reservation. But here was a situation that we just 4 hours, you know, into another train, and the train, you know, we go to the station master and we tell him that we need 100 tickets. And then he tells us, yes, 100 tickets are available, you can catch the next train. And the ticket and the train was there at 11 o'clock in the evening. So that is the mercy of Lord Jagannath. Now I'm thinking, you know, how could it be possible? Inconceivable that the Indian Railways has a train which runs empty. Right? What else could it be except the mercy of Lord Jagannath? And I remember once, Pandurang Prabhu and myself, we had gone to Jagannath Puri a few years back. And we were at Haridas Thakur Samadhi and we wanted to catch a rickshaw to go to Tota Gopinath Temple. So this was sometime around 10:30 in the morning. So we were asking, because the distance is not very large, it's not such a far distance between Tota Gopinath and Haridas Thakur Samadhi, not many rickshaws were wanting to come. So we asked one rickshaw, we asked second rickshaw, we asked a third rickshaw, but nobody was willing to come. And finally, out of the blue, one person came in his rickshaw. And then he stopped in front of us. And then we told him, can you drop us to Tota Gopinath? He said, yeah, please come. And then we sat, and then in the rickshaw, Pandurang Prabhu and myself, we were talking. And somehow this person caught on that we were from Bombay. So after he reached us to Tota Gopinath temple, he turned back to us and asked us, aap log Bombay se aaye kya? So I said, yes, we are from Bombay. So then he removed out from his wallet, a very old crumpled wallet, he removes out his wallet, and then from the wallet he removes out a visiting card. And then he shows us his visiting card. Aap inse pehchante hain? Do you know who this person is? And we see that this visiting card is of Dr. Nagaraj Murthy. You know, our Nitya Krishna Prabhu. So I asked him, yes, of course we know Dr. Nagaraj Murthy, but how did you come across this card? And then this person revealed to us that last year your whole group had come on a Rath Yatra to participate in the Rath Yatra over here. And I had an arrangement where he would take Nitya Krishna Prabhu back and forth, you know, to various samadhis and various places. So it was like a contract that Nitya Krishna Prabhu had arranged with him. For nearly 5 days, this particular rickshaw person was with Nitya Krishna Prabhu. So he had established a friendship with him. So towards the last day, he asked Nitya Krishna Prabhu that, can you finance me for the purchase of a rickshaw? So then it so happened that this rickshaw fellow told Nitya Krishna Prabhu that actually this rickshaw that I have doesn't belong to me. It is a rickshaw that I have to take on hire. I pay every day 30 rupees. But if I had my own rickshaw, then it will be, you know, much more beneficial to me. So Nitya Krishna Prabhu, out of his compassion and you know, kind-heartedness, gave him 3,000 rupees. Now, when you give such a person, a rickshaw puller, I mean, there are thousands of rickshaw pullers, and most of them you will see in the streets of Jagannath Puri, half of them are intoxicated. So immediately one would realize that if you were to give such a large donation to a person, what would he use it for? You know, but somehow, by the Lord's inconceivable arrangement, this person was such a honest person, he immediately went and purchased a rickshaw, and that was the same rickshaw on which we were traveling. And he told us that every day in the morning, the first thing that I do is to go before Lord Jagannath, and then I pray for Nityakrishna Prabhu and his family. And literally, when he was telling us this, he was practically having tears in his eyes and telling us, you know, this, how wonderful person, you know, he trusted me with 3,000 rupees. And I was thinking to myself, my God, here, you know, of course, what Nityakrishna Prabhu did is a fantastic thing. But I was just thinking about the inconceivable arrangement of the Lord to send the same rickshaw person to us at Haridas Thakur Samadhi, so that we could board that rickshaw and then we could come to know about the glories of Nityakrishna Prabhu. You know, it's not that Nityakrishna Prabhu advertised and said that I've given this donation to this person and, you know, this person has purchased. He didn't. Nityakrishna Prabhu didn't even know that he has purchased a rickshaw. So when we came back to Bombay, and I told Nityakrishna Prabhu, or I asked him that we met a person over there and, you know, did you by any chance give a donation of 3,000 rupees to somebody over there? He said, yes, I gave a donation of 3,000 rupees. So I told him, yes, this person is now a proud owner of a rickshaw, and every day in the morning he goes to the temple, he goes to Lord Jagannath and prays for you. Really intelligent person, huh? Nityakrishna Prabhu. For 3,000 rupees, he's getting a person to pray for him every day. Huh? What a wonderful investment, huh? That Nityakrishna Prabhu made. I mean, this is an investment that is worth millions and millions of investments that you make in a mutual fund. So more than the mercy that this particular rickshaw puller got from Nityakrishna Prabhu, the inconceivable arrangement. I was actually meditating on that, how the Lord makes it somehow or the other to glorify His devotees. And I'll narrate one more pastime before we finish. Again, in the same time that we were together, somehow at the time when we reached Jagannath Puri, Pandurang Prabhu and myself, we made a resolution that we would not eat anything except Jagannath Mahaprasad this time. Right? So we were there in Jagannath Puri for 3 days. So we said that we would not eat any outside food. We would eat only Jagannath Mahaprasad. And every day in the morning, afternoon and evening, religiously, we would go to Anand Bazaar and take whatever prasad was available over there and honor it. Now it so happened that on the third day in the evening, now this was just before we were to leave Jagannath Puri. Somehow, you know, although the prasadam of Lord Jagannath is very, very special, right? Over a period of time, if you're not used to that prasadam, we become, you know, because of our conditioning, we want to always look for something that is more tasty. Because the prasadam is pretty bland of Lord Jagannath. It doesn't have chilies, it doesn't have, you know, it doesn't have so many items, tomatoes, potatoes, the things that we are traditionally used to. So at around 8 o'clock in the evening, and we were staying in a particular hotel which was like about 4 kilometers away from Lord Jagannath's temple. So, which was a decent hotel because we could not get accommodation anywhere close by. We were staying in that hotel. So around 8 o'clock in the evening, I told Pandurang Prabhu that why not we go to this restaurant. There's a restaurant called Grand Restaurant on the main road. Why don't you go to the restaurant and have a masala dosa? So, I mean, Pandurang Prabhu said, yes, why not? I was also thinking the same thing, you know, because, you know, Jagannath Prasad has become a little bit. So, we went over there, and then after we sat there for half an hour, the waiter comes and then takes our order, and then we tell him that we want a masala dosa. And then he said, I'm sorry, today there is no masala dosa here. You know, in this restaurant, on this particular day, they don't serve masala dosa. So he said, do you want anything else? So we had made up our mind that we want masala dosa. So we said, no. It's okay. We'll go to some other restaurant. And then I remembered that there was a restaurant which was called the Hare Krishna restaurant. And it still exists in Jagannath Puri. So I told Pandurang Prabhu, for sure we'll get a masala dosa in this restaurant. So we took a rickshaw and it was about a kilometer away. We went to that restaurant. And as soon as we entered the restaurant, we knew, or rather we realized that something was wrong. Because the smell that was coming out from the restaurant was not how a normal Hare Krishna restaurant smells. So immediately I went to the counter and asked the counter, do you serve non-vegetarian food over here? He said, yes, yes, we serve non-vegetarian food. Please come, please come. So I realized that although it was named as Hare Krishna restaurant, it was actually serving non-vegetarian food. So I told Pandurang Prabhu, this is not a place for us. And I said, by that time it had already become 9:30 at night. And I said, somehow Lord Jagannath is teaching us that because we did not honor the promise that we had made to Lord Jagannath, he is seeing to it that we are actually fasting today. So I told Pandurang Prabhu, let's go back to our hotel. What can we do? We'll sleep and, you know, next day morning, in any case, we are supposed to leave Jagannath Puri. So we went to this hotel, and by the time we reached there, it was 10 o'clock. And this hotel had a restaurant which we would not normally go into because, you know, that restaurant also would be serving onion, garlic and other items. So we would not have anything in that restaurant. But on that particular day, as soon as we entered into the hotel, we saw a beautiful big board that was displayed over there saying, today Jagannath Prasadam is being served. So that restaurant on that particular day had made arrangement to get Jagannath Prasad, and all the guests in the restaurant were honoring Jagannath Prasad. So I was telling Pandurang Prabhu, see, this is the arrangement of the Lord. Somehow or the other, even if we want to escape Jagannath Prasadam, the Lord will arrange it that we have Jagannath Prasadam. So just a realization that, you know, if we somehow or the other, we go to the Holy Dham and make some effort in order to try and please the Lord, somehow or the other, the Lord will reciprocate with us. So what we may think has to be austerities, I mean, you go to a Holy Dham and do so many different austerities, from a materialistic person's point of view, actually, you know, what is it that these people are doing? How could one possibly want to go to Jagannath Puri at such a time? You know, October, November, December are months that a person actually prefers to go to Jagannath Puri because the weather is very nice at that time, you know. So Parikshit Maharaj was going through this austerity on the fifth day just because he was relishing the glory of Lord Krishna. And we as devotees, aspiring devotees, somehow or the other, we may think that actually what we are doing are austerities. But in effect, those austerities are so much pleasing to the Lord that the Lord reciprocates more than what we expect. And those austerities actually give us bliss. So we'll stop over here. Just 5 more minutes. Are there any questions or comments? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Har Bol.